Good morning. Scripture reading for this morning's lesson will be coming from 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. And it reads, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any man shall perish, but that all shall come to repentance."
Like to say good morning. It's good to be here, and I thank the elders for giving me this opportunity to stand in place of Greg Dismuke this morning as he is out doing lectureship. And also I thank God for giving me, and not only just me, but other brethren here, the capability of being able to serve in this capacity. This is it's a really good thing for me, and I hope it is good for you as well, and I hope it really helps out Greg with all the work that he has to do for him to be able to go away and accomplish things and know that the congregation here will be well taken care of in his absence. So I thank you for that. I also like to thank our visitors for being with us, and you are our honored guests, and we just ask that if you have any questions after the message, I'll be available to give you a Bible answer for anything that you might want to ask. We don't turn people away when they have questions. It's our job to be able to give a Bible answer for the things that come from this pulpit. So feel free to ask anything that you may want to ask. I need to ask you a question this morning. What if a woman of the night, a streetwalker, a prostitute, were to come through those doors dressed in her working attire, and were to walk down this aisle and to come up here and take her seat up here in the front of our assembly? You know, would there be a few oohs and ahs? Would there be a few, "What in the world?" Or would some even respond in protest, "Who does she think she is coming in here dressed like that?" Or would some be thinking that she must have come into the wrong place? Well, perhaps she has just reached a point in her life where she is just searching for answers. And she's seeking the truth about her purpose on this earth. You know, haven't some of us been there? You know, perhaps she's come in response to someone knocking on her door some Saturday morning. Maybe she attended our Dorcas Day. Maybe she overheard a conversation about this good congregation, or perhaps she was just passing by. But whatever brought her here, you know, is it not possible for God to redeem such a person as this? Amen. Oh, yes, it is. And yes, he has. For this, we turn our attention to Rahab the harlot, who was not only redeemed, but who was characterized in the Bible as a woman of faith. A woman of faith. Now, who is Rahab? A Gentile woman, a citizen of Jericho. At the time that Joshua led the Israelites across the Jordan River to conquer and possess the land as God had instructed him. What was her occupation? Well, she was a harlot, a prostitute, one who sold her body and thus sold her soul for money, because she was a fornicator. Matthew 16 and verse 26, you know, it says, "What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Or what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what should a man give in exchange for his soul?" The soul is valuable, and yet she sold hers for money. Today she would have been a woman from the red light district. You know, some time ago that was a common term for an area of a city where prostitution and lewd acts were performed for gain, for a price. It is so called because of the red lights that were used in such places. But today, any place, a club down the street, even someone's home, can become a red light district. What was her relationship to God? She was one set for God's destruction, one who was on the pathway of God's vengeance and judgment upon the wicked nations. In Deuteronomy 20, verse 16, God will tell Joshua to let nothing breathing remain alive. However, redemption came to Rahab's house, and her entire family found redemption in a red light district. How could this be possible? Well, this heathen woman came to have faith in the God of heaven as the only true and living God in heaven above and on earth beneath. And we will examine four areas of her faith where it was not only acknowledged, but it was demonstrated. Therefore, she found redemption in a red light district. So let's turn to Joshua chapter 2, if you will. Joshua chapter 2, and let's read verses 1 through 9. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, "Go and view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country." So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country." Then the woman took the two men and hid them, and she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from." And it happened as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road to Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to them, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you have fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you." First of all, we're going to look at the help of a harlot. Faith in God's plan. She had, number one, faith to protect that plan. She knew the spy's intention. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 22, it reads there, "And every one of you came near to me and said, 'Let us send men before us, and let us search out the land for us, and bring back word to us of the way by which we should go up, and of the cities and into which we should come.'" Look, this was a battle strategy. This was a strategy of war, where you will go out and search the land, and you will find the weak points where you can enter that land. You will assess everything, even their army, even their strongest men, how many there were. This was battle strategy, so that they can come in and know how to conquer the city. And she knew their intention. And not only that, she guarded this plan. You know, we're given the same charge today, Jude 3. It says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered to the saints." We have the same charge, brethren, to defend the gospel, just like Rahab defended God's plan. She knew what these spies had intended to do, and yet she had the faith in God's plan to defend it. But not only that, faith to protect, she had faith to proclaim. She acknowledged her faith in God's plan, did she not? You know, and we're to do the same thing. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you to reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear." We have that same charge. Are we afraid to tell people who we are? Are we afraid to tell people what we believe in? Well, we shouldn't be. This harlot wasn't. This same person that would come down the aisle with the oohs and the ahs, look at her faith. Look at her faith, but she also proclaimed her belief in the true God. You know, this harlot, this prostitute had more faith than some of God's people in this day. Did you know that? And even in Jesus' day, you know, in John 12 and verse 42, it says, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. These were religious rulers. But yet Rahab had more faith than them. More faith than them. So let's go to verses 10 through 11. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. And what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. Now therefore I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token. And spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Here we see the humility of a harlot. Her faith in God's power. She had the faith to see that God's destruction. It was on its way. She saw the Lord's hand in Joshua's conquest over Sihon and Og. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 2, the Lord would say to Joshua in verses 24 and 25, rise and take your journey and cross over the river Arnon. Look, I have given into your hands Sihon, the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and engage him in battle. This day, now listen to this, I will put the dread and fear of you upon the nations under the whole heaven, who shall hear your report or the report of you and shall tremble and be in anguish because of you. Wow. Rahab heard that, and it was just based on her hearing that. She had faith enough to believe it. And she saw God's utter destruction of those nations by that faith. In Exodus chapter 23 and verse 7, it says, I will send my fear before you. I will cause confusion among all the people to whom you come. I will make all your enemies turn their backs to you. In other words, I'm going to send your enemies or put them to flight. All because of this shepherd people, the children of Israel, because of God. And you know what? Rahab could see that Jericho was next. Jericho was next. Now Jericho was a fortified city. Jericho had a wall system that was unlike any other. And it was said to be impenetrable. And it was built up on an earthen embankment. And then you had a retaining wall at the bottom. And then another outer mud brick wall at the bottom of that earthen embankment. And then at the top of that embankment was an inner wall. And so the total feet was 46 feet high. There is no way the children of Israel was going to, you know, to impregnate this wall. They couldn't penetrate this without the help of God. And then you hear, you have the outer Jericho that was built against the outer wall. So, and then you had inner Jericho. Now guess what? If someone were to penetrate this wall, who was going to be in the pathway of destruction first? People on this outer part of the city, weren't they? I bet the property values weren't pretty high there, do you think? Yeah, this was like the slums of Jericho, the ghetto of Jericho. And that's where Rahab lived, and her house was along the wall. And so the back of her house, her back wall was of her house was actually this first wall of Jericho. And that's how she let the spies down. But you know what? She had faith enough to see God's deliverance. While the rest of Jericho put their trust in these walls, not Rahab. Not Rahab. You see, she trusted in God's will over Jericho's walls. That's what she did. In 2 Samuel, she had this attitude. 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 3. The God of my strength in whom I trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, my refuge, my savior, you saved me from violence. You know, God was her stronghold. not these walls. And in Psalm 18 and verse 2, the Lord is my rock. My rock. My rock is built on nothing else or nothing less. You know, we just sung that song. My fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I trust, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. So again, God was her stronghold. 2 Samuel 23 and verse 31. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all those who trust him. She trusted in God's deliverance more than Jericho's defenses. Now let me ask you a question. In what walls are you putting your trust? You know, is it possessions or obsessions? Family traditions or addictions? Is it treasures or pleasures? Evolution or even the Constitution? You know, Jesus dealt with all these. Did you know that? He dealt with them all. You know, possessions? He said, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Luke chapter 11 and verse 15. Obsession. And ye shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Mark 12 and verse 20. Family traditions. He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Matthew 10 and verse 27. Addictions. It is the spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. John 6 and verse 63. Treasures. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Luke 12 verse 34. Pleasures. When they have heard, and that's the word he's talking about, when they have heard, go out and are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring forth no fruit to maturity. Luke 8 and verse 14. Evolution. And he answered and said to them, have you not read, he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, not evoluted them, not evolved them, not big banged them. He made them male and female. And then the Constitution. You know, the Constitution has been so misused and abused, taken out of context, misapplied to justify every or freedom to do every evil thing under the sun. But you know what Jesus said? And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8 and verse 32, not the Constitution, the truth. I don't put my hope in the Constitution. It's, you know, people are amending that all the time. And that leads us to our next point. Let's turn to, let's look at verses 14 through 22. So the men answered her, our lives for yours. If none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be when the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall. She dwelt on the wall. And she said to them, get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide there 3 days. Remember that. Until the pursuers have returned. Afterward, you may go your way. So the man said to her, we will be blameless of this oath of yours, which you have made us swear, unless when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you bring your father, your mother, your brothers, and all your father's household to your own home, so it shall be that whoever goes outside the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his head, and we will be guiltless. And whoever is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. And if you tell this business of ours, then we will be free from your oath, which you have made us swear. Then she said, according to your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet cord in the window. They departed and went to the mountain and stayed 3 days until the pursuers returned. The pursuers sought them all along the way, but did not find them. Here we see the hope of a harlot. Faith in God's provision. And she had faith to wait for the promise. She trusted in God's word, even though it came through a human agent. You know, haven't you heard people say, I don't believe in the Bible because it was written by men? Well, these were men who came to her, and she believed in the promise that they made to her through God. She was willing to meet the conditions of the promise, to keep silent, to keep the signal, and to keep inside. Those were the three conditions. Keep silent, keep the signal, and keep inside. Conditions of salvation. Or isn't that something? You know, people today say there are no conditions to salvation. There's always been conditions to salvation. Even today, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16, verse 15 and 16. And so they must believe the gospel first. That's one condition. And then you can be baptized. If you don't believe the gospel, if you don't meet the first condition, then you can't be baptized. Your baptism will mean nothing. And then without baptism, you cannot be saved. Because salvation, baptism is a condition of the salvation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. It's all based on faith. And that's where Rahab started, with faith. With faith. But she met these conditions, didn't she? What if Rahab had opened her mouth and told their business? She wouldn't have been saved. Wouldn't have mattered if she stayed in the house. What if Rahab forgot to hang that scarlet cord out that window? Too bad for Rahab. Wouldn't be reading about her right now, being a woman of faith. What if she did not stay inside? We wouldn't be reading about Rahab being redeemed, being saved from destruction. In Matthew 7, verse 21, it says, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." You know, Jesus was saying, Luke 6, and verse 46, "Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Doesn't matter if you call him Lord. Doesn't matter what you believe. If you don't meet the conditions, if you don't do the will of the Father, you will not be saved. James chapter 2, and verse 19, "You believe that there is one God, you do well." But guess what? He says, "The demons believe also and tremble." What more have you done than the devils, than the demons, by just believing and not doing? But not only that, she had faith to wait in patience. She had faith to wait for the promise, and she had faith to wait in patience. Do you know, realize that she waited or had to wait at least, and I'm saying at least, because I don't know exactly how long it was, but at least 2.5 weeks, shut up in her house. In Joshua chapter 2 and verse 22, we read that they departed and went into the mountain, and they stayed there how many days? Three. 3 days. In Joshua 3 and verse 2, before they crossed the River Jordan, guess what? There was another 3-day wait. That's 6 days. After they crossed the River Jordan, Joshua 5 and verse 8, there was a circumcision performed on all the people, the men. And so they had to stay in the camp until they were healed. That was at least 4 days that was recorded there. So that's 10 days. And then in Joshua chapter 6, remember, they marched around the city 7 times, 7 days. The first 6 days, 1 time for each day. And the 7th day, they marched around the city 7 times. And then they blew the trumpets, and the people gave the shout, and those walls came tumbling down. That was a long time to wait. You know, can you imagine us today? I just can hear it now. You shut up in there for 2.5 weeks, let's just say, and I can hear people complaining now. Man, can't we go to McDonald's or something? You know, I can hear Rahab say, you can Big Mac yourself on out that door if you want to, but you're not coming back in here. And the ladies, oh man, I haven't had my hair done in 2 weeks. Come on, can't I just go get my hair done? Yeah, you can get that dude fried, dilated to the side, however you want to call it, but you're not coming back if you go out that door. Rahab was waiting in hope. She was waiting in hope because she knew what was going to happen. In Numbers 23 and verse 19, "God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do?" She knew that God was a God of his word. Don't you leave that house. Don't leave it. I bet kids would have been driving me crazy. Don't leave the house. And it's the same thing today, people, with the church. Rahab's house is just like the church. And we have many folks today leaving the church. You're leaving God's house. When judgment comes and you're not in the house, guess what? You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, it says, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Look, Rahab is set out as one for us to imitate. A prostitute. One who would have gotten the oohs and the ahs and the, what is she doing here? If she would have come down this aisle. Makes you think, don't it? 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8 says, "Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." You know what? I bet when the spies came to Rahab's door, finally, when they came to that door to get her out of that house, I bet her heart rejoiced. I bet her heart rejoiced. You know, that leads to our next point, the heart of a harlot. And you know, it began in verse 11. Let's go back and read that again. She says here, "And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you." Now, this is her heart. "For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath." She, first of all, had the faith and a place with God's people. She had faith to change her religion. Here she acknowledged their God, the God of Israel, the God of heaven, as the true God, not the gods of Jericho. She changed her religion. She went from turning tricks to turn into the truth. And then chapter 6 and verse 25, let's go there. Let's begin in verse 22. It says, "But Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the country, 'Go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her.' And the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire." Verse 25, "And Joshua spared Rahab, the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho." She had the faith to change her relation. She left a heathen nation for a holy nation. And she also had faith to change her reputation. She went from a woman of fornication to a woman of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, it says, "By faith, Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace." We find Rahab on that famous roll call in Hebrews chapter 11 that we call the roll call of faith. And there we have the prostitute, Rahab. Amen. Rahab. She changed her reputation, didn't she? From Rahab the harlot to Rahab the heroine. From living in shame to leaving a legacy of fame. Look at Matthew chapter 1, if you will. Matthew chapter 1. You know, this is remarkable. Matthew chapter 1. The book, it starts off now, the book of the genealogy of who? Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. You get to verse 5 and it says, "Salmon begat Boaz by who? Rahab." You remember who Boaz was, don't you? Let's keep reading. "And Boaz begot Obed by Ruth." Boaz was the one who married Ruth. That famous book, the book of Ruth. And here you have Rahab, who has become her mother-in-law. Isn't that something? And then you keep reading. "And Obed by Ruth, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king." Here you have Rahab in that royal lineage of David, and also in that messianic line of Christ. Man, that's remarkable. A prostitute. You know what this should teach us? One thing, brethren, and this is how we're going to conclude. that before we judge a person by how they look, where they're from, how they're dressed, or what they do, let us remember that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We're right back where we started, 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. And that means even you, even me, and even Rahab, amen, the harlot, and anybody else that we might deem unworthy of God's word. Brethren, we have to be careful. You know, when we take God's word out, everybody is a candidate to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, no matter who they are, no matter what kind of vile crime they've committed, no matter what state they're in, no matter what status they're in, they are worthy of hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we had better get that right. This church should be full with people of all races, all statuses, all statures. We should be full. And it should not matter, because it doesn't matter to God. God looks at the heart, not on the outer part of man. And if you're here today and you're deeming yourself unworthy of redemption, remember, Rahab found redemption in a red light district. In a red light district. You know, it might be that you're trying to wait, as has been said before, I got to get myself together. I got to get perfect. You know, Rahab didn't come to God perfect. She came to God as she was. Just as the song that we normally sing, just as I am. That's how God wants you to come. It's God who does the fixing, not me. I just need to have a penitent heart. I don't have to be perfect, just penitent. Be ready to repent, be ready to do God's will. And God will take me. He stands with open arms for anybody. Don't think that you're not worthy to come to God, because he's standing here. He sent his son to die for you. And it says, while we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. Not while we were perfect, not while we were friends, while we were enemies. No, Jesus didn't come to call the righteous to repentance. That's what he told the Pharisees. So you need to get that out of your mind. And if you need to come to Christ, you know, come now. You know, and just like Rahab hung that red scarlet thread out the window, you know, when you come to Christ in faith and you are baptized into Christ, guess what you receive? Guess what you're cleansed by? His blood. That crimson flow that flowed from the cross. Just like that red scarlet thread was a symbol to those, that was the house. That was the house. You know, when God sees that flow of blood in you, that blood of Christ, when judgment comes, he's going to say, he's mine. She's mine. That's what that blood, that scarlet thread represented. And you know what? You got to be in the house. You know, and Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, it says that having favor with the people, and the Lord added to the church those that were being saved, added to his house, not anybody else's house. And guess how many houses there were in Jericho that didn't come falling down? Just one. And it's the same today. There's only one house that Jesus is going to come back for. Ephesians 5 and verse 25, there's only one house. He's the savior of his body, not anybody else's body. If you're a member of the denomination, you better take that seriously, because that's not his house. That's not his house. Ephesians 4 and verse 4, as one body. And Christ is only coming back for one, just like with Rahab. You know, he only came to one. There was only one ark in the days of Noah. I don't care if you built the regatta ship. I don't care if you had a yacht. He came back for that ark. Only the ark was spared. It's only one. Just one. And so we ask and beg and plead you today, take these things seriously. Be like Rahab the harlot. She didn't come perfect. She just came penitent. And for those of us who have probably passed judgment on those of us who are members of the Lord's church, and you have been leaving the body, you know, going back out into the world, you need to get back in the house. You know, come back to God. Come back to his house, so that when judgment comes, you'll be in a safe place. And you'll be saved. Now, if you need to respond, the invitation song will be sung right now. Please come and obey the gospel.
Careless soul.